Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it is a pleasure to be coming to you today with today's broadcast. God is good and worthy to be praised. It's a rainy day here in New Jersey, but this is the day that the Lord has made. And I don't know about you, but I am rejoicing and I am glad in it. Hallelujah. God is good. He is good. And if you have not already, I want to ask you to get on the phone, send out some emails, and let somebody know that Woman to Woman, flowing with Pastor Rebecca and her co-host, life coach, biblical life coach, Tina Michelle, and prophetess, Angie Singletary, is on the air. Let somebody know that Woman to Woman is on the air. And the chat room is open. The phone lines will be open later where we will be able to speak with you. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to call in and talk to us today about what's on your heart. Today we'll be sharing with you about certain issues pertaining to being a woman of God. Being a woman of God, we all know that it's challenging being a Christian in today's world, and we want to be able to share with you pertaining to being a woman of God. So we will be sharing, talking about relationships, health, finances, spirituality, parenting, ministry, and more. However the Lord leads us to share, we will be sharing on today. So we're always excited to be with you. And I'm just blessed. I'm a blessed woman. I know that there are a lot of blessed women listening on today because God is good, and he's not finished yet. God is not finished blessing you, nor is he finished blessing me yet. God still has a whole lot more in store for you. I don't care what it looks like. I know it looks dreary, but you have to know that God has a lot more in store for you, and he has a lot more in store for me. So do not grow weary. Don't you dare grow weary in well-doing. Don't you get tired of walking with the Lord. Don't you get tired of believing and trusting in God, because God still has so much more in store for you. I declare it in the name of Jesus, because the Bible tells us that God has a great plan for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope in the future, plans for good and not for evil, plans to bring us to an expected end. We have to know that God's plans for us are greater than our own plans, and his plans are greater than the plans of the enemy. So I don't know about you, but I'm just going to stick with God's program, amen, because that's just what I have to do. I just have to, amen. And not only do I have to, but I want to, because I've been on the other side, amen, and it's just a good thing to be on the side of the Lord. So get on the phone. Send out some emails and let somebody know that Woman to Woman is on the air. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tina Michelle, and also Prophetess Angie Singletary. And we will be sharing today. We'll be talking to each other. We'll be sharing with you. We'll be moving as the Lord inspires us to move, and we will be flowing. We're not scripted. We don't get together and meet before the broadcast. We just meet each week here and come and just flow with what the Lord will put on our hearts. Amen. So I do have my co-host here. I know that Tina Michelle is here. God bless you, Tina Michelle.
Hello, hello. I just ran out of the conference room. I said I have to get online.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody. I may not be able to stay that long because I'm in the middle of a meeting, but I needed to hear your voice, and I needed to just know that the sisters are there, ready to fellowship.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm here. Amen. And it's just so, I'm just so glad that you took time out. I know you're busy, but I'm glad that you're committed. You know, I'm glad that you're committed to what we're doing here on Thursdays. And what kind of a conference are you having there?
It's actually a meeting. It's a meeting with several different parties, a joint venture that we're doing in Georgia. So I have several different people here actually in New York doing the final negotiation, and then I'm going into another meeting after that, and then I'm getting ready to move next week.
Amen. So you are a busy woman. You are a busy woman. And because you're moving, you have to realize that God is moving right there ahead of you. As a matter of fact, he's not with you. He's ahead of you. He's already gone before you and laid the foundation. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm following the glory clap. They said, boy, you're moving, you're moving. I said, God is moving. He doesn't stop moving. I'm following the glory cloud, because if I miss the glory cloud, you know, the glory cloud was the protection by day, then the pillar of fire at night. If I miss that, I'm not covered. So when he says stop, I got to stop. When he says go, I got to go.
Amen. 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 And we do have to do that. We have to learn to flow with God. And Tina Michelle, I know that you're one that knows that, that we have to follow. And I love what you said, that we have to follow the glory cloud.
Amen.
We have to follow the glory cloud. We just have to do that. And I want to just go ahead and open in prayer. How long will you be able to stay today?
I told them to take a break to go get a sandwich and some coffee. I'll be back. So I'm going to stretch it as long as I can.
Okay, so let us pray. Prophetess is in the chat room. She just got out of a meeting. So both of you ladies are just moving and shaking and very busy. But, you know, God is good, and he's going to reward you both for your faithfulness and getting here on today and actually being obedient to the call that God has placed on our lives. You know, to do ministry is a great sacrifice, and people just don't realize how much we give up just to obey God. But the thing about it is that what we gain as a result of our sacrifice is so much greater than anything that we can think that we're giving up for him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So let us pray, and then we do have another caller on the line. I'm going to bring that caller on, and then we're going to go ahead and move forward. As a matter of fact, let's just see who this is. Amen. Praise God. Area code 786, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman. Hallelujah. Area code 786, are you there? Amen. Praise God. Okay, and sometimes people call to listen, and they don't want to be on the air. So let us pray, and then we'll move forward. Amen. Father God, we praise your holy name.
Thank you.
Lord, we worship you. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord. And we just magnify your name on today. God, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability to come to you in prayer. And we're coming to you in prayer asking that you cover this broadcast on today. We ask, Father God, that you cover each and every woman that comes to fellowship with us. We ask that you cover, Father God, the co-host, Tina Michelle, and Prophetess Angie Singletary, God, and myself, God. We ask, Father God, that you give us words, Father God, to edify the souls of all who will listen, Father God. We ask that you let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. We ask that your glory, Father God, fill this place on today, even via the internet airways, Father God. We ask, Father God, that women will be set free, that lives will be changed, that souls will be saved, that the sick will be healed, the blind will be able to see, ears will be open, Father God, and bondages will be broken in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father God, their hearts will be encouraged even as we come together. Father, I pray, Father God, for each and every woman, Father God, that will hear this broadcast, each and every woman that will participate in this broadcast. And we pray, Father God, your supernatural blessings upon their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are, Father God, right in the middle of every single storm. And we thank you, Lord, that you have never put any more on us than we could handle. But just when we thought we couldn't take it anymore, Lord, you provided a way of escape. So, Lord, thank you, Lord, for helping us to trust you. Thank you for anointing us, Father God, with grace, Father God, to weather every single storm in our life. Thank you, Lord, for Father God, patience, and Father God, thank you for character building. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to learn to trust you, God, even through the circumstances that we encounter in our lives. So, Lord, we give ourselves and surrender our will to you, Father God, on today. Let your will be done. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Not our will today, but let your will be done. Father God, even in the midst of this economy, Lord, even in the midst of so much going on around us, Lord, help us to keep focus and help us, Lord, to keep encouraged, God. My God, help us to, like David, encourage ourselves in the Lord, God. Help us, Lord, to know that you have us, God. Help us to trust you. Lord, help our unbelief, God. Help our unbelief. God, help us from not to get bitter and resentful, Father God. Help us not to be hardened, Father God, by our circumstances, Lord. Help us, Lord, just help us. Help us to just trust in you and lean on you during these times that we're living in right now, Father God, because you are all we have. You're all we have, God. Without you, we're nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we can be nothing. So we thank you and we praise you, God, for even right now, your Holy Spirit, which is going out over these internet airways and the telephone ways. And Father God, your spirit, which is embracing the women right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your spirit, Father God, which is edifying and encouraging, Father God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, which is, Father God, breathing life, Father God, even in the midst of a dead situation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, God, and we magnify your name. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for breathing hope, Father God, even in the middle of hopelessness, God. Thank you, Lord, for breathing encouragement in the middle of discouragement, God. Thank you for breathing joy, God, in the midst of what looks like depression, God. Thank you, Lord, for breathing abundance, Father God, into what looks like recession, God, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you for supernatural blessings, God, and supernatural miracles, Lord, even in the midst of what the world deems to be hopeless, Lord, that we are not of this kingdom of the world, but we of your kingdom, God, hallelujah. And we thank you in your kingdom that there is no lack in your kingdom, God. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We magnify your name, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, God, to weather this storm, Lord. Help us to have faith as a mustard seed. In the name of Jesus. And thank you for manifestation, God, in the name of Jesus, of your blessings in our lives. Thank you that we're going to be blessed in the middle of the wilderness, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for blessings in the middle of the wilderness. Thank you for abundance in the middle of a drought, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for surplus, huh? In the middle, Father God, of a famine, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for stepping in, God, and changing our circumstances, and Father God, renewing our lives and changing our situations and manifesting your blessings, even in the middle, Father God, of what the world is going through, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name, God, because we're of a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Peculiar people, Lord. Kingdom residents, God. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for what you've already done.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Aha, ha, ha, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you today, God. We pray for every woman that's going through today. We pray for every woman that is going through today. Every woman that had to drag herself to her computer today. Every woman that had to crawl out of bed today. Hallelujah. Every woman that had to encourage herself in the Lord today. We pray for every woman today. Hallelujah. And we speak words of encouragement to her spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, you shall live. You shall live and not die. That you shall be more than a conqueror. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. That no weapon formed against you can prosper. In the name of Jesus, that you shall go forth with leaping and shouting and praise and worship to the Lord. Yet will we praise him. Hallelujah. Yet will we magnify your name, God. Yet will we glorify your name, God. Because you're worthy, God. You're worthy to be praised. Our heart rejoices today, God. Hallelujah. Because you're worthy, God. You're worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord. Lord, we worship you today, God. Hallelujah. We praise you. When we don't praise you, the rocks will praise you. And we don't praise you, the trees will praise you, God. And ain't no rock, ain't no tree going to praise you for your daughters today, God. We, your daughters, assemble today together, and we worship your name. We take time out to worship you. We take time out to praise you. We take time out to magnify your holy name, God, because you are still God all by yourself. Hallelujah. So we worship you today, God. Hallelujah. We magnify your name today, God. We thank you, Lord, for the oil of joy, God. Hallelujah. And the garment of praise, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you today, God. We magnify your name, God. Oh, our kids are acting crazy today, God, but we worship you, Lord. Our husbands act like they don't got good sense today, God, but we praise you today, God. Our bosses are breathing down our neck, and people are being laid off all around us, God, but yet we worship you, Lord. Our accounts didn't have the money that we needed today, God, but yet we praise you, God. Yet we magnify your name. Our stock is down, God, but yet we say hallelujah anyhow. Yet we continually raise up our hands and praise you. Yet when we trust in you, God. Yet when we look to the hills from which cometh our help. Yet when we lift up our voices and our hearts unto heaven today. Yet when we worship you today, God. Because you're worthy. Our health may be ailing and we may have gotten a bad report from the doctor. But yet when we lift up holy hands. And yet when we magnify your name and worship your name today, God. Hallelujah. We shall not fear. We shall be encouraged today. Day, God. We shall not retreat, God. We shall not step back, God, from what you have called us to do. Hallelujah. We shall not lay down and die, God, but we will stand. And after we have done everything, we will stand, God. In the name of Jesus, we will put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. Remember whom we belong to. Remember who our God is. Remember who our Father is. Hallelujah. The whole earth is yours, God, and the fullness thereof. And no good thing will you withhold from those who love you and have been called according to your purpose. So, Lord, we thank you. You're awesome, God. And we worship you, God, in advance, God. We worship you in advance, God, for the great things that you have done, God. So we thank you for manifestation that is yet to come, God. And we will continually trust in you and believe in you and look to you, God. We will not fret because of evildoers, God. We will not, Father God, be taken aback by circumstances and situations and what it looks like, God. In the name of Jesus, but we will continually to stand up and say, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my power, and I love him just like that. So, Lord, we love you and we praise you today. We magnify your name. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you for our jobs. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our health. Thank you, Lord, for a roof over our heads today. Thank you, Lord, for, Father God, breath in our bodies today, God. Thank you, Lord, for a willingness to bless your name today, God. Lord, we love you and we worship you today. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. 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 We praise you. We love you, God. We love you. 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 And we need you. And we need you, God. So follow us. Lead us, God. Let us follow your cloud of glory, as Tina said. Let us follow your cloud of glory today. And we will forever be mindful. Oh, bless every ministry. Bless every ministry. Every person that does ministry in your name. Bless today, God. Encourage our hearts on today, God. In the name of Jesus. And we will be ever so mindful. Mindful, ever so mindful, to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we pray for Kenya today, God. We pray for revival, even in Kenya today, God. As Pastor Nelson has asked that we pray, God, all the way in Africa, God. We ask, Father God, that you send a revival, not only in Kenya, but that you send a revival in America, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, let us gather together, Father God, and lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us gather together and tarry in your name, God. Let us pray in your name, God. Hallelujah. Let us worship in your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us lift up that blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus so that people can be saved, delivered, healed, and set free, God. Lord, we bless your name today, and we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. thank you, Jesus. We pray, God, for revelation, God. We pray for grace, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you today, God. Oh, God, we came together today to say we love you. We magnify your name, God. We give you the glory, God. Hallelujah. We give you the honor, Lord. We give you the praise, God. We gather together on one accord, God. Not our will, but let your will be done. Not our will, but let your will be done, God.
Hallelujah.
Forgive us of our trespasses, God. Some of us messed up, God. Oh, we messed up. Forgive us, God, of our trespasses, Lord. Put us back on the straight path, Lord. We want to walk with you, God. We love you today, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 We just got to flow. We got to obey God. And prayer is much needed. It's much needed. Some people can't understand why we take the time to pray, but God says we need to pray. Hallelujah. We need to pray. We need to pray, and we flow here. So we thank God for the fellowship. We thank God for those who have already called in. There was a person on the line. Call back in. You go ahead and obey God and call back in, because God wanted you to be here. There's something that He's going to say to you and through you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But God is good, and He just wants us to know that He hears our prayer. Amen. God hears our prayers. He's with us. He says He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. And let me tell you something, ladies and men, if there are any men listening, God is still in the business of working miracles. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's still God. See, I think the problem is that we have put God in this little box. And we have looked at God through minute eyes. We have looked through God through these little tiny eyes, and we have condensed His power, because we are not really magnifying God. And God is saying, release me. God is saying, take me out of your box today. God is saying, I can do everything. I didn't say I can do some things, but God said, I can do
everything
but fail. It's not a cliche. It's like God is saying, for sure, I can do everything but fail. And you know, Tina Michelle, the thing about that is God, we believe that God can do everything. Most of us believe that God can do everything. We believe that He cannot fail. But most of us do not believe that God will do everything that we need Him to do. We believe that He has the power, but we don't believe that He has the desire to bless us. My God, and that's where doubt comes in. Sometimes we doubt that God really wants to bless us. We doubt that God really wants to work miracles in our lives. We doubt that God really wants to move in our situations, in our circumstances, that He wants to work with our children and our husbands and our employers and our business partners. We doubt that God really wants to do it for us. Or we doubt that we're worthy, my God. We got to be stripped down of that. We really have to be stripped down of that. And we have to really embrace the blessings of the Lord. Embrace the blessings of the Lord. Look, God is still blessing, and God still desire to bless you.
Hallelujah.
He still has a desire to bless you. I don't care what it looks like. Whatever it looks like today, know that God is still a God who is blessing folk, and He still has a desire to bless you, and He is no respecter of person. I need you to find somebody that God has blessed lately, and you don't have to look far, because I am one of those people. Hallelujah. I know we got some people on the phone and some people on the air today that God has blessed lately, and I want you to yoke up with some people that God has blessed lately, to put yourself in remembrance of the magnificent power of our Lord and the awesome love of our God.
Hallelujah.
And, Rebecca?
Yes, amen.
Hello, this is Minister Tabitha Variant.
God bless you. God bless you, Minister Tabitha. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're on area code 786.
Yes, ma'am. That's me.
Amen. So I have you. God bless you. Welcome. Go ahead and speak, women of God.
I just had to give my testimony because the Lord, the Spirit spoke through me, the Holy Ghost, to just go ahead and, you know, just let people know that He is real. He is who He says He is. He is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He never changes. And He's always there for us. Last year, Christmas, me and my husband, we were driving. And at that time, you know, I want to make it really clear for people to know that, you know, everything happens to you for a reason. It really does. Because I had gotten to the point where I said, you know what, Lord, I am tired. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am tired of all these people who are corrupting the world. I am tired of people who are oppressing the poor. I am tired of these people who are causing all these wars and famines and, you know, just doing everything up under the sun but the will of God.
Yes.
I said, you know what, Lord, I'm just tired. I'm ready to go. You know, just work your magic. Let me go to sleep. And then it happens. Even though I don't even have that right to tell him that.
My God, go ahead and speak, woman of God.
I didn't even know at the time I didn't have that right because I was so filled and consumed with anger, with hurt, with all the people who do the things that we know should not be done. I got in my car, and I was driving along the highway, and a song came on, and I told my husband, I said, you want me to change this song? Because I know you don't like this song. And he said, no, go ahead and let it play. And, you know, right then in my mind, it was like, wow, you know, he never listens to this song. But you know what? I'm going to let it play. We're driving. I was going to the movie. I said, you know, let me go get these tickets early so that I don't have to wait in this line later on.
Yes.
We're driving along the highway. I'm in the lane, or the left-hand lane, all the way to the shoulder on the end. And this lady, she jumps in front of me. And I'm one of the people that drives according to the law, the speed limit, because I don't want a ticket. I don't want to be bothered.
Yes, amen.
But you know what? Let me drive the speed limit. And that's what I do every time I get on the road. So I'm driving 65, and she jumps in front of me, and she starts driving 50. So I'm like, Lord, you know, I don't feel like driving less than I have to drive. So let me just jump on over here into the further left-hand lane, which you know is the speeding lane.
Yes.
You jump on over here and just pass her just so I can go 55 and not 50. I looked over to the left. There was a lady that was in the lane two lanes back. In the same lane, two car lengths back, I'm sorry, in the same lane. And I said, well, I got enough space. And since I am a careful driver, I looked over again.
Uh-huh.
To make sure she had not sped up so that I could not get into that lane.
Yes.
It was two car lengths full. So I proceeded to get over, and my life changed from that very
moment. My God.
That lady sped up in her car. She decided that she was going to go alongside of me, in which, you know, there's no room in the very far left-hand lane for a car.
Yes.
She decided she was going to go past me, got wedged between the barricade wall with me, decided she couldn't get past. She hit my car, and it flipped over.
My God.
Four times.
Jeez.
It crashed. It slammed up against the barricade wall. It came back down on the top of the roof. Now, when that car started to flip over the first time, in my mind, I said, God, this isn't happening. This isn't real. This can't be happening. And right before I passed out or blacked out, the Holy Ghost came to me and said, cover your face, because it was a 1992 Blazer and I had no airbags.
My God.
And I passed out. I came back to. I was okay in this accident. And I glorify and thank God and Jesus in His name for the miracle that I received.
Hallelujah.
And gone. So I just want people to know, when you feel like you've gotten to that point where you're tired and you're sick and tired, you need to reexamine yourself and your life and give it to God.
My God. My God. Hallelujah. So that changed your mind real quick about you being ready to go.
Oh, yes.
And God, how long between the time that you prayed that prayer and the accident?
I'd say it was a couple of days.
My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's confirmation. That's confirmation for me. And I'm going to bring Prophetess on. God bless you, Prophetess.
Thanks.
God bless you. How are you?
Oh, good to see you. God bless you. I'm doing just fine. I just wanted to say hello to you. Area code 973, we see you. We're going to bring you on the air. And also 509, we see you. That's confirmation for me, Minister Tabitha, because I'm there. You know, I was there, and God is dealing with me. I've been on my knees. I have been praying. I said, God, help me, because I'm just all messed up by what I'm seeing in the world. And just before I got on the broadcast, he took me to Psalm 37, verse 1, which says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And then it goes on to say, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. But the thing about it is, God gave me that word today after he took me to Jonah and had me read the book of Jonah this morning, because I was like, God, help me. Help me, because I'm like, I'm so tense from all of the sin that I see in the world, and it seems like nobody cares but me. And but God is saying, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I still love these people who are doing things against me, who have turned their backs against me. You just delight yourself in me and trust in me and fret not because of evildoers. So I thank God for your testimony and your obedience today, because that's confirmation to me that God is saying that his will shall be done.
Hallelujah.
His will shall be done. Let's take another call. Area code 973, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Area code 973, we see you. We're going to bring you on the air. And also 509, we see you. That's confirmation.
Okay, area code 973, are you there?
I'm there.
Okay, area code 973 is listening by computer and also by phone. We want to thank everybody for joining us today, and this is Woman to Woman. I want to open up area code 509, because this is the second time that they called back, and then we're already in the broadcast.
Yeah.
Area code 509, you on the air?
Hello?
Hello, God bless you. How are you today?
I'm great.
Okay, who's calling, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pasco, Washington, and my name is Paula Mary.
Oh, God bless you, Paula Mary.
Hi.
Hi, God bless
Hi.
You. So far from what you've heard or anything that the Lord has placed upon your heart, what is it that you would like to share with us today?
Well, I just, the Lord is leading me in that, and I just got a word from someone about this, about resistance, you know, about our resistance, that we're being covered in, you know, a spirit of resistance is coming toward us. And, you know, it's really difficult in the middle of, you know, trying to follow God and being authentic in our spirits, you know, to keep, you know, in this day when it is so fraught with our life and our businesses are just so fraught with, you know, our intentions. And, you know, it's really hard, you know, in every single moment to bring God into that. But it's not just, you know, and in that moment looking deep, where is that intention and where does that drive for, you know, even in the Lord, we want to be great achievers. And, you know, and still what we bring in that spirit is a very old garment, a very old intention, and a very old drive to our business, if that makes sense. So God is just showing me today that, you know, I'm taking actions in ways that I think are aligned with his will and you know, and are even messages from him, you know, and yet, you know, it's really interesting to see that, you know, he's leading me down a path, and I think that this is a go and it's a green light, and in fact, it's, you know, he's leading me to show me that, you know, resistance or that agenda, you know, that it really isn't, you know, he's not leading me with some sort of carrot in mind, you know,
yes,
you all
yes.
that you hope for, but so you know, I mean, I think that when we think about resistance, we think about, like, you know, I don't know, taking up all our toys and going home and not participating and not playing, and you know, I think what he's trying to show me in the spirit is that, you know, the resistance comes from standing in places that, you know, are not in the holies of holies. It's not in his secret place. It's not in his gentle place where we wait for that gentle result to show up, you know. So I don't know if that all makes sense, but, you know, that's what I feel he's showing me today.
So you're saying that he's showing you that resistance comes as a result of you not being in his presence, or...
Well, I think that I'm kind of saying is that we create the resistance.
Mm, that's good.
You know, he can lead us, he can, you know, it's terrible saying, he can lead us to water, but he can't make us drink.
Mm.
You know, and you know, we're walking on paths where we think we know his will, we think we've got, and we do, he is trying to communicate with us, but you know we think we're going to be led there, and you know, the jump off is going to be into some you know great pool of reward or something immediately, and you know, it's just, you know, he's not always taking us directly to that reward. Not that he doesn't want to bring us to abundance, but you know, the resistance is really in finite ways in our own spirit.
Mm,
you know,
mm.
It's really waiting in that moment where there's a, you know, there's a lot of love after praying. You all just had a great prayer session, you know, and
yeah.
You know, if you stand there in that spirit and you waver in that spirit, in that love, there's nothing there. There's no push. There's no pull, and that's where his results take place. There's no resistance from your spirit hanging out. There's no expectation. It should be kind of like, oh well. Okay, Lord, thank you for blessing me. You know, it
Amen.
Shouldn't be like some result that we're pushing for, and now we expect it. You know,
yeah.
There's an
the
intention
outcome.
In that. There's a resistance in that.
Mm.
You know, it's really letting kind of like the flower open, and
wow.
letting them and say, you know, here, this is really this beautiful timing and moment, and you know, you really, you know, you're standing there with your heart prepared and ready and in grace and in love, and it just happens in that, that's a transformational moment for God, you know. And so what I'm kind of hearing is that, you know, he'd love to have more of those, you know, but we're just kind of, you know, we keep coming into that space with, you know, our great agendas, our great purposes, you know, of who we are and who we think we ought to
back.
Be and what we think we ought to get, you know. And that
wow.
for him is a spirit of resistance, and
he resists the proud. He said, I will resist the proud. And we don't realize it, like we were talking at the open of the, just at the very open. We're talking about the glory cloud.
Mm.
You know, and people say, you know, what are you doing? Following the glory? I can't follow myself. Myself will lead myself a whole bunch of different places. And there's no protection. There's no protection for me outside of that. That's where the sniper is. You know, the road is very narrow. And if I go down a wide road, then I'm zigzagging going from one point to the other point to try to figure out what I'm supposed to learn on that road, because God is, it's always about growth for God. It's not unto your destruction. He loves you. He'll
wow.
never, like you said, he'll never leave you or forsake you. And these are the lessons. It's a lesson walked out, and you will never learn it all, because just when you think you know, there's something else.
Yeah,
God,
that's what I was getting ready
limited.
To say. That's what I was getting ready to say, Tina Michelle. How often do we miss this? You know, that what Paula Mary just spoke was so poignant for me. It just brought tears to my eyes because, and then what you said, Tina Michelle, about the fact that we have to be led by God. So often we want to lead, especially us women. We have strong personalities of leadership. You know, we have strong, what they want to call type A personalities. And God gave us those assets in order for us to be able to lead, but not to lead him. He has to lead. You know, God has to lead. And I started, when you were speaking, Paula Mary, tears came to my eyes because I just had surgery. We have quite a few women from RISE here, and I want to thank God for all of the women, Minister Tabitha and Paula Mary, and all of the women who have shown up from RISE, and also Mrs. Z. Neal, who's always with us, and Gina Edwards is here from Christian Women of Power, and also Tina Michelle from Christian Women of Power on RISE, and also LaLisa Firestarter is in the chat room. I thank you, Firestarter, for putting the notice out on MySpace. That is our desire, that women will let women know that we're here, amen, and we're speaking to our issues. But I want to welcome everybody else in the chat room, Nova Gatson, and also our guest 607P's in their pods, TS Ministries, and of course we're there, Prophetess and I are there. But as you were speaking, Paula Mary, tears came to my eyes because, as most people know, I just had surgery on my right eye on last Monday. So 10 days ago I had surgery on my right eye for cataract. I had cataracts in my right and my left eye. I still have one in my left eye where I'm barely able to see out of the left eye. But my right eye, the cataract was so bad that I could not see. It had blinded me. And all of my life, for 40 years, I'm 47, since I was 7 years old, I have worn glasses, very high prescription corrective lenses. And I had been, you know, saying one day I'm going to have 20/20, and I'd said that about 5 years ago. And then I said it the last time I went to the doctor's office when they could not find my prescription, but it was not a very high level of expectation attached. I was kind of joking, like, one day I'm going to have 20/20. I was telling the girl, don't feel sorry for me that I can't see. One day I'm going to have 20/20. And lo and behold, I was sent to a specialist that told me that I had cataracts in both eyes, that they were going to have to do surgery on both of my eyes to remove the cataracts. But then the doctor told me that the great thing about it is that they were going to be able to give me vision better than I've ever had in my life. And I was praising God because here I am sitting here with vision now in one eye, in my right eye. But that vision is better than any vision that I have ever had in my whole life. And it's only going to get better because I have to go back and get the left eye done. But what you're saying is so beautiful, because this was not something that I was able to expect and push and prod God for. It was just me flowing with him, and not even me flowing with him. It was nothing to do with me, as a matter of fact. But it was everything to do with God and the fact that he wanted to bless me. The fact that he wanted to bless me. He took great pleasure in blessing me, and I cannot take any credit from him. All I can say is that I love him. You know, I'm a woman that loves the Lord with everything in me, and I just encourage women today. I just encourage women today. Just love God. Don't resist. And I am one who resists. I am one who's always pushing and pulling with God. When I think he's told me something, to do something, I'm resisting. I'm trying to do it myself. And God has said, he said to me today, he said, stop. He said, why are you still trying to do what only I can do?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to do?
Yes. See, you know, that when you said we're going to flow and just share, okay, it's the funniest thing. That's why I say you think you know, but you don't. And just when you think you got it all together, you go to the next level. The whole game is wiped, and you got to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. Because you make decisions. The resistance is not just someone being sitting there just trying to be stubborn. And no, you got motivators. You love the Lord with all your heart. That's your key motivator. Sometimes we love our kids with all our hearts. That becomes a major motivator of how we make decisions, you know. And that was what I just walked through. I walked through a whole bunch of story in my mind how I had to make decisions around my children, around my If I don't do this, my kids, I'm here. If I don't do this and that, my kids, this is what's going to happen, right? Then I just released it. I said, they're not my kids. Listen to you. That's how I can hear myself. I just heard myself. Those are not my kids. Are you prepared to make an idol out of your children? If God is trying to move you a certain way, then you need to obey God because you're his kids. And you have stewardship over these beautiful beings. And God knows better than you. So when I had to lay the, you know, sometimes you got to lay hands on yourself and cast the devil out of yourself sometimes. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and speak to yourself and anoint yourself with oil. And ask for the Lord to come and to change your thinking, because thinking will put you in a position that you think you're right, but you're not, because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And I thank God that he caught me, because I kept pushing. I have to have it this way as a mother, as a responsible mother. This is what I have to do. And then it just hit me. Who says you got to do it this way? Follow after God. I released that thing, and God flipped the script in less than 24 hours.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And I'm going to tell, you know me, I'm naked, right? So I tell my business because people get delivered.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. We have to let go and let God. We have another call. I want to give this caller a chance to come on the air. Amen. And the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. Amen, so that you can call in and share. This is Women to Women, and this is really what it's all about, us calling and sharing with each other, amen, and praising God while we're at it. Area code 908, you're on the air.
Oh, praise God, Pastor Rebecca and Tina, God bless you.
Praise God
for, you know, the show today, just listening in and also in the chat room, and just so happy to be able to have witnessed just, you know, God moving, just moving mightily, and the scriptures coming to life. I just thank God for it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
I love calling into your show, Pastor Rebecca. I was trying to listen to another show, actually, a good friend of mine, Saeed Brown, also has a show on at this time. And while I do, I have a lot of respect for her, and I love her. Actually, I was interviewed on her show. But, you know, it's just something about the woman that God has placed, you know, in your life, and the women that have been attracted to your ministry. And it's just, you know, it's like words can't really explain. I mean, I'm not saying this to give you like a big head or anything like that, because I don't want to be that person, because, you know, I wouldn't want you to, you know, make any mistakes in that way, because I think everything that you do, you know, you do it because this is what God has anointed and appointed you to do.
Yeah.
And we see many big leaders that fall, and we say, oh, what a shame, but some of the same people that put them up there are part of the reasons that they got to those positions where they thought they were so big. So I don't want to have that on my hands, but I do thank God for you, and I just love your show, and I just wanted to call in. So sometimes when you see my number, you don't have to take the call. It's just easier for me to listen via the phone. But I do love you. I love your ministry, and I love listening to the people calling in and hearing their thoughts about how God is moving in their lives, their thoughts about, you know, ministry or the things that we're dealing with as women. And because we deal with a lot. You know, we deal with a lot. But how God, you know, just, okay, we know he turned us around, and we know he saved us from sin, and we know that we are to go tell it. You know, the word of God says, you know, go and preach the word. So that's all I have to say for now.
Amen. Well, God bless you, women of God. And I just thank God, because he's still blessing me, and he's sending women to just speak directly. I've come to minister, and he sent women to minister to me. And I just thank God for all of you who are just being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord today, because I sometimes think there's something wrong with me. You know, I'm like, what's wrong with me? And I'm crying again. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
I told prophecies in them, I said, since then I'm just going to spend a lot of time crying. I'm like, God, what's wrong with me that I want to see so many people set free and delivered and have a better quality of life? And it just seems like
Nothing's
people
wrong.
People just not interested, you know. People, and I get a lot of persecution, of course, because I have this heart, and I sometimes intentionally want to harden my heart, you know, to say, oh, forget about it, you know, nobody cares. But thank God that somebody cares.
But God is going to continue. You know, people care, and God is going to continue to send people to you, because God knows every juncture where you're going to feel like that. Like before the foundation of the world, like this day isn't lost on God. What you're feeling and what you're experiencing isn't lost on God. So he already knew before the beginning of time that you were going to do this. And so he already has people, like some of them you don't yet know. Some of them you do know. Some of them you're going to meet. But whenever it gets to a point where you feel like that, God is just going to, somebody is going to supernaturally or miraculously show up. And they're going to be able to speak life in you. You're going to be empowered to go a little further, because this is one race that God does want you to finish. God didn't.
Amen.
God don't start nothing that he ain't already done finished it. We just haven't finished yet. He said, the word of God said, it doeth not yet appear what ye shall be. But when you see him, you're going to look like him. So that tells us right there, 1 John 3:2, that God already knows how we're going to end up. And so he knows, if he knows how we're going to end up, he knows every point in between. And so you can take comfort in your crying, because the tears, my God, wailing women, you don't know who you're setting off of drugs. You don't know what prostitute is deciding to stop prostituting on that day. You don't know what woman that has lost her mind and couldn't care for her children for 10 years is going to suddenly gain consciousness and get her right mind back, or that man. You don't know. You're not supposed to know. It ain't for you to know. You're supposed to keep on crying every time the Lord on your heart. And you're supposed to cry, weep, and wail. I don't care if you have to get buckets to cry in. You got to do it. We don't know what God is doing in the spirit realm, and it ain't for us to know, because if we knew, some of us, that's how our heads get too big. Because everybody...
That's right.
Calling and writing and emailing, telling you how great. Stop all that. You don't need anybody to tell you how great you are. You know you're great because a great God is moving through you. That should be enough for people. So, I just encourage you to be strong in what you're doing. I don't care who doesn't like it, because I'm a living testimony. You know I don't get to call in every week. I do work, and today I happen to be working from home. But when I feel led of the Spirit, I'm going to call. And so this is the day, but I love you. And
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and I love you too. And I go ahead. Somebody else wants to speak.
This is Tabitha again.
Yes, God bless you.
God just put something real heavy on my spirit as she was just speaking. Rejoice. Be glad. If I wasn't at work, I'd be running all through this job, shouting.
Amen.
I'm about ready to run right now. Let me tell you something.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready to run through this whole building right now and shout glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God knows. He knows, and he hears you, and he wants you to take comfort that he is your rock, your fortress, and your strength. Be still and know that I am God. No
Amen.
Evil shall be able to come against you. When they persecute you, they persecute you in my name. So shout and let's run and rejoice and be glad, because we are children of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
We shall not be moved.
And that's a word for every woman out there. You know, God allows me, I suffered through. And one thing that God began to show me at the beginning of my ministry was other women's pain. And, you know, the only way that I was even be able to begin to minister to other women's pain was because of the pain that I've been through. And now, even now, I thought my pain was over, but my pain continues because he allows me to continue to experience a woman's pain. Not other women's pain, but my own pain. Even everywhere that we move with God, you realize that when you stand for God, you will be persecuted. And I want to ask the women that are listening today, what is your heart's desire? You know, what is your greatest delight? You know, if it's not the Lord, then I want to challenge you to examine yourself, you know,
Amen.
Because God has to continue to be first and foremost in our lives. And like I said, I feel like the odd shoe out, and I'm just so glad that I'm not the odd shoe out, because there are so many women in the chat room and on the air with me today who love God and who have the same heart that I do. And it's good. It's great to be in good company. You know, it's great to know, like Elijah, that I'm not the only one, that there is a remnant, that there are people who still believe in holiness. You know, I mean, holiness is like a curse word these days, because people just, they don't want to be holy. And you get a lot of opposition when you start talking to people about holiness. And that's where we get our victory, when we submit and surrender everything to God, even our lifestyle, you know, even the way that we do life. When we give everything to God, then we can begin to manifest His glory on this earth. And that's what it's really all about, God getting the glory. We get caught up in the bills and the money and the marriage and the kids and, like Paula Mary was saying, and the doing. But it really has to be more about being women of God, you know, being women after God's own heart. So, you know, God bless you. I love you all. We only have 4 minutes, and I know that everybody that wanted to call in didn't have a chance to call in. But, Prophetess, I haven't heard any. We've had callers, and I thank God for all of the callers. I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. Prophetess, I want to just put you on the air and just have you say something today. Amen.
God bless everyone. You know, I was really quiet today, but, excuse me, taking everything in, I was just encouraged by every word that came forth as a blessing to you, Pastor, because I received it because of a state that the enemy seems to think that he's taking me in. You know, I
yeah.
think for the Bible study, even on last night, talking about Pastor Anthony, talking about how we have to encourage ourselves. You know, I
Amen.
Said it on Tuesday night in prayer. You know, Monday I was taking a train ride because I had to go to the Philadelphia office. And the seemed like a spirit came from, I know where it came from, the enemy, where I was riding on the train, and it seems like my mind was taking a trip down memory lane, but it wasn't a good trip. It was a trip where the enemy was trying to take me back to some things and things that's happened and whatever, and I know what God says, that I am an overcomer and
yes.
that I'm blessed. So
yes.
that's why, even in the midst of the tears trying to flow on the train, I'm like, God, don't let me go here. I can't go here. I don't want these people watching me on the train. And just like the woman of God said, sometimes, yeah, you have to cry. Sometimes you got to, even if the tears were flowing, and I was like, wow. I had to release a few of those and give them to God so that
yes.
he could come on in and comfort me and stop that enemy from what he thought he was doing. So I thank God, because the Lord started speaking to me, encourage yourself. Bounce back.
That's right.
Snap out of that.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, you got to look in the mirror and encourage yourself.
Yes.
That's what you got to do, because the Holy Ghost is always there. God's word is true.
Yes.
Jesus already paid the price. And, you know, and it's a day-by-day thing. And what the other sister was saying about people getting a big head, I don't even understand that, only because, you know, we're in a lot of different rooms and a lot of different environments, and it's only by the grace of God that we're able to maintain just our sanity, just the stuff that's out there. The word that Paula was talking about today, I forwarded to her, and I want to just acknowledge Paula. She's also a biblical coach. I had the blessing to train her as a biblical coach. But the resistance is outside of us. You know, it's all around us, because it's the season. But time is up for coming in and out of the presence of God.
Right.
That's that holiness. That's the
Well, how do Tina, I'm sorry, you were breaking up. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just saying, we need to just stay in His presence and a love relationship with Him, just loving on Him. Because that's the only thing that protects us, is love that conquers all. Not our intellect, not our position, not our knowledge of the system. It's the love of God that protects us.
Yeah.
So when we realize that moment by moment, relationship that we have with Him, isolating it to one moment at a time, because what the enemy keeps trying to do, and I know you've heard me say this before, is take you into your past so you're afraid of the future, so you're powerless right now.
Right.
And God tells us to take the now, the right now, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. So all of us have had the opportunity to do something else with our moments, because the pressure is there. But what's so lovely about fellowship what's so lovely about coming together on these Thursdays, and like you said, Pastor Rebecca, we don't plan, we don't get on the phone before, there's no debriefing after. It's,
right.
The Lord just flows.
You know,
and the Lord flows.
Amen. Minister Tabitha, go ahead.
It's Paula, actually, Paula Mary.
Oh, Paula, okay.
You know, it's just I love that this subject came up because it's you know, I actually just got a word about this, and you know, I'm terrible and I'm still a new Christian, so I'm not great at remembering Bible verse, but it was something about, you know, regard the past and stay in the blessed presence. There is actually a verse in the Bible that says to stay in the blessed present.
That's right.
You know.
Wow.
You know, and you know, I've never
wow.
never heard God so specifically address, you know who we should be in that. You know, we should, you know, when we're standing in the presence, and you know, the devil wants to come to us with memories and melancholy and reflection, and you know, there is a value. You know, that's what the quote says: to honor the past. We honor the past, but we stay in the blessed presence. Present, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, and I think that's just really powerful that got brought up here today. Yeah, because it's that wavering of, you know, it's not like the past doesn't come up in every moment almost, you know, but how do we regard it when it comes up? What do we do with that? And what is God, you know, what is God's word, and then is what is God saying? Most of the past that's being brought up out of your spirit is to be cleansed. And the only way that you can do that is to stay in the blessed presence.
Amen. Amen. You know,
and you know
what I love about Paula Mary, what I love about you is that you, what I love about you being a new Christian, what do you call a new Christian?
3 years.
What I love about your newness is that you're still new enough not to be tainted by all of the concerns that us older, more seasoned Christians get concerned with. When we are so busy trying to figure God out, you know, you're still new enough to be in love with God, you know, and that's something that I pray that we as Christians continue to maintain that reverential you know, like, God, you know, you're just so awesome, and I don't know how you did what you've done in my life, but I'm just so glad that you did it, and God, I'm like a baby, and I'm trusting you, you know, because as we get older, we become toddlers, and then we become an adult, we call ourselves mature and adults in Christ, which I don't think that we ever do get to that point where we're adults. We may be a little bit more mature, but we get to the point where we want to be independent and, again, start to lead God. And it's just so important that we continue to be childlike in our relationship with God. Like you said, to stay in his blessed presence, you know, to say, God, as long as I'm in the spirit, as long as I'm walking with you, as long as I'm delighting myself in you, I cannot be distracted by what's going on around me, and even the attacks that come against me. You know, when you're with your father, you know that the bullies on the block can't hurt you, right, prophetess? You know,
amen.
When you're in the presence of the Lord, you don't worry about who's coming down the block to mess with you or to taunt you, like the devil wanted to come and taunt you on the train to remind you of some things from your past that you know you already overcome and been delivered from and already been healed from.
Yeah.
And the devil's coming to try to make you think different, but we all know that the devil's a liar.
Amen.
You know, so prophets, I just thank you for sharing your testimony as well.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just got to step in here, Pastor Rebecca, with just a couple of things. It's really interesting that you bring up this, well, Paula, you're so new, and there, you know, you still have the love of God, and you still really feel that love of God. And I've been hearing a lot of older pastors talk about that lately. And I, you know, I just have to tell you, for me, in these moments with you, when you are crying, when you are open, when you are exposed, when you are naked, the way that you are naked, you know, it's this beautiful kind of soft pastor Rebecca that always comes out. You know, we depend upon that for you, from you. For me, when you're doing that, I get pictures of Christ with, you know, that we've all seen those pictures, Christ with his heart, you know, and that's what comes flowing out of you from me. That's
Praise
what I
God.
Feel. So sometimes I think that you older pastors, you know, we remember the really glorious days when God comes to us, and it's so exciting and it's so profound, and, you know, it's just such an amazing spirit, and maybe we long for that day. But, you know, maybe it's not that you're not in love with Christ. Maybe you are Christ.
Wow. What you're saying is you get to the point where you, and this is my prayer again, that I would diminish and that God would increase, that I would decrease and that he would increase. And if I would decrease to the point where Christ in me could actually take over, that's my dream.
Yeah.
That's my desire. That's my heart's desire, Paula Mary.
That's the step into the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm feeling God right now. I want to put Lalisa, Prophetess Lalisa, on the air because she was saying something about the past. Prophetess, go ahead and say that, Lalisa.
Before you do, I'm sorry, I have to go, ladies. I have to go back into
God
my...
bless you, Tabitha.
God bless
Minister
you.
Tabitha, thank you so much for being with us. Email me. I need to hear from you.
This is Tina.
Oh, that's Tina. See, everybody sounds alike today. Tina, God bless you.
Tina,
email me. I need to talk to you.
Amen.
Or call
Amen.
Me later.
I will.
Okay,
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Lalisa?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was just talking about, you know, and I understand, you know, and people have, you know, very, very painful pasts and things like that. And I'm certainly not saying, you know, tell all, though I've pretty much done that. But that's because God has shown me that most of my past was about him delivering me. It
wow.
wasn't. It wasn't my past. I don't know about anybody else's past, but I'm talking about my past. Like the woman, you know, who was at the well, and how Jesus, you know, told her that no, you. I know you don't have a husband because you have five husbands, and the one you got now ain't yours, and things like that. And then she ran back and she told everybody, "Come see a man that told me everything about me."
Mm.
So I know that I'm a run tell that see a man past. So I'm not trying to. You know, to diminish anybody's beliefs and feelings that what was done in the past and things like that, and certainly not to let the devil get any foothold or stronghold or to use that. So that's why I don't believe, Pastor Rebecca, in just doing everything that everybody else do.
Yeah.
Just because somebody else speak in tongues don't mean I got to do that. Just because somebody else can stand up and tell their past about how they were raped and molested don't mean I have to do it. We have to be led by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And what I'm saying is that Christ never had to make those kinds of decisions. He always knew what to do.
Wow.
He said the Father and I are one. And
wow.
every decision he had to make, before he came here, he already knew what to do. So, you know, I'm not Christ.
Mm. I'm not Christ. Amen.
Because
Amen.
Because I'm still running around doing stuff that there has been nothing that has let me know that Christ did that. Because the Bible says he was without sin, period.
Amen.
So I know that I have been sinned, so I can't be him yet. Yet. I was reading in 1 John 3:2. He says, but when we see him, we will be like him. So, yes, I'm going to be like him later. And that's the hope of my glory. I mean, you
Amen.
Don't think that's the hope that I'm going to be glorified later. So I don't know if I answered your question or not, but.
No, you did, because I know your testimony, and you know my testimony, and we both have awesome, all of us have awesome testimony. Some people think because they haven't been through what we've been through that they don't have a testimony, but no, if you have a past before Christ, B.C., then you have a testimony.
But wait a minute, that's your testimony. See, that's what people, oh, my God, I'm so glad you said that, Pastor Rebecca. That is so powerful that you need to write a book with that right there. That is your testimony, that you had a life before Christ.
Mm.
If you came out the womb, your mother and father were rich, you grew up in a wonderful, nice neighborhood, you went to the best schools in the world, you had the greatest nannies and caregivers, and you graduated with honors, 4.0 in the whole nine yards, and as they say, this, that, and the third. And you went to college and graduated with no missing, no drop classes, no withdrawals, no nothing. And then, and you met your husband. You never had sex with anybody. You married him, and on the fourth day you had sex, and that all went well. Fine, wonderful. However, there was a time before you knew Christ. For yourself. I'm not talking about when you were a baby and your mother took you when you were 3 weeks old down to the altar for 3 months or whatever and you got baptized that way. But I'm talking about when you came into knowledge of Christ for yourself, whether it's been 1 year ago, 10 years ago, or 100 years ago, then that's your path and that is your testimony. And I'm so glad you said that because the Bible says, I was just reading in the book of Revelation, I was trying to find the one that said that many will be won over by the words of our testimony.
Mm.
But the testimony, I couldn't find that one, but I found one that said, the testimony is Jesus. The testimony is that I now know him for myself.
Amen.
It really ain't all that other stuff. All the other stuff would just help the person who's still stuck there to put down their stuff that they're doing per se. If they're feeling bad about having been molested or they're a drug addict or they lost their business because they made bad business. You know, some people, that's what they're embarrassed about. They had a fancy business, a wonderful business. Mom and dad left them a lot of money, grandma, whoever, and they lost all that business because they married the wrong man or the wrong woman or they made a bad business decision. Look at famous Amos, the cookie guy. Look at his powerful testimony. So that's some people's testimony, but I think the most powerful thing I'm getting out of this is that, my God, Pastor Rebecca, you know, they talk about the secret. You listen, we sat here on your show, and you cracked the code. The code is, and I don't know if you've done this before, you might have, but the code is that, guess what? Your life before Christ is the testimony. The fact that you now know him, that's it. You don't need, I know I so agree with you when people say, well, because they feel that they didn't lose a business or get raped or have a baby out of wedlock or have an abortion or get divorced or have a car wreck or plane wreck or whatever. They think they don't have a testimony, but my God, oh my, you got the most powerful testimony that ever lived, is that you know Jesus for yourself.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And guess what? Your testimony is what it is. This is what I'm hearing. It is what it is. You know, and there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And when I think about my testimony, I was on a radio broadcast on Saturday where we were being interviewed about one of my books, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. And I gave my testimony on that radio broadcast.
We're hiring for some positions. I'm not quite sure which one.
And as I was...
But what you're going to need to do is follow this street.
Amen. Hallelujah. And as I was on that radio broadcast, and I recommended blogtalkradio.com/Denise Mack, D-E-N-I-E-S-E, D-E-N-I-E-S-C-E, Mack, she interviewed me about my book, and I was giving my testimony. But I'm to the point now where I'm naked and not ashamed because the devil can't make me ashamed of what happened to me or even the things that I've done in the past. And I think we need to have more of these sharing sessions where women who have a past or women who have done things that they're not proud of can be free to share, not on Blog Talk Radio, of course, but even intimate circles where you can have a circle of women that you can be transparent with and don't worry about them judging them. And then don't worry anyway. It is
your
what
church.
It is. It is what it is.
Why don't you have a testimony night or service or something?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, to have a testimony service, because that's the only way that you're going to defeat the devil over some issues in your life. Even you, prophetess,
yes,
you're a powerful woman of God, but the only way that you're going to be able to defeat the devil and some of that stuff that he's trying to bring back to you is to go ahead and let it all hang out.
Because,
you know,
see, Pastor Rebecca, I know... See, one thing I do know is about that he will bring something back. Remember, I'm the one who, because of that whole spirit of not being ashamed to testify, I'm the one who, yes, he delivered me out of prostitution and fornication. Yes, I got married, but because I really didn't understand the real true meaning of being really delivered from something and the testimony being powerful, because I really didn't testify about it at the time, then I end up in adultery after 9 years of my marriage.
Wow.
9 years of being, Pastor Becca, I think you've met my husband before.
I have met your husband. Yes,
I have.
A fine man of God.
powerful man, works every day, good job, the whole nine yards, takes great care of me, but yet and still, after going to church, him and I both in the church, this and that, to, oh, my God, how do I end up 9 years after being totally, you know, only dedicated to my husband in terms of sex and these things, I can't think of the right word, no fidelity, none of that, how do all of a sudden on one day, it took one day for the devil. Now, yes, he worked it in a very slick way, but God said, I won't have you ignorant of Satan's devices. So I was ignoring the devices because I wasn't really eating on that scripture until afterwards. And then afterwards, I could see it so plainly, everything. The things I said that were wrong, the things I said that led up to it, and my husband didn't have anything to do with it because it was about the things that I said and it was about the things that this so-called angel of light came in and said.
So why don't you have any, so is it, now does the devil have any power over you in that test, in that particular area where you messed up and went into adultery after 9 years?
No, because I told everybody. When I sat in my pastor's office, Pastor Terrell, who is my current pastor, when I sat in his office, I didn't have to tell nobody. Hardly nobody knew except a few of my close friends. My husband didn't know. None of his family knew. Nobody in my church knew. They didn't know him, and they really didn't know that much about my personal life. But when that pastor said to me, a minister, why did he, at the time I wasn't a minister, he said to me, why did you leave your husband? And the voice in my head said, tell it or the devil's going to use it against you.
Yeah.
And it just came out. I wasn't even trying to tell it.
Wow.
But when I told it, a whole nother year-long series of events happened. But that same series of events, because, you know, it really pushed me further in ministry than I ever thought I was going to ever go.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, my ministry was like, stand up in front of the church, clap your hands, and lead a few songs. I don't even, some of y'all know, I don't even sing. I don't even have a singing voice.
Mm.
That stuck me in.
Wow.
Praise team. I ain't nobody's praise team leader. I can't sing. Come on. But that was the ministry they had given me.
My God.
I'm not saying it's nothing negative. I'm not saying anything wrong about that, but guess what? I can't really sing. It'd be different if I had a beautiful voice. But the ministry over the women that were hurting, and at that time, women in our church were leaving their husbands like white on rice.
Wow.
And God, I guess God was saying, listen, if I got to do all this just to bring forth your ministry, or let all of this happen, rather, because God, I know he didn't bring all of that, but he allowed those events to happen. He didn't stop them.
Yeah. Yes, yes, and he will. I told you I read the book of Jonah today, and God will allow you to be thrown into the ocean where you feel like
yes.
you're going to drown because
yes.
of your disobedience. So when we're in disobedience sometimes, then God allows us to be thrown overboard, you know, to the point where we're out there trying not to drown, and that's what you were saying, but it only is to bring us into the next dimension of the ministry that he has for us to do. See, we can't do ministry perpetrating. You know, we can't be pretending and faking the funk with God. Remember, God knows everything. So it's just important for us. That's why, you know, you guys talk about my mannerism and things of that nature, but, you know, I can't be haughty. And I can't be puffed up because the Bible calls me to be humble. You know, the Bible calls me to be humble. So I have to continually be humble, you know, and we have to continually be humble before the Lord, knowing that we only been called pastor, preach, that we have this great treasure in this earthen vessel, and the treasure is the ministry, you know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit through us. So we just have to be very careful when things are happening, when the devil is allowed to taunt us, and he's only allowed to taunt us to show us the areas that still need work in our lives or to show us something that hasn't really been given over to God totally. So, you know, I just want to encourage the women in ministry today, and I believe that everybody here is in some type of ministry. Just be naked and not ashamed with God, and allow God to flow through you and use you to his glory. and realize that the stuff that you did in the past, albeit it is in the past, God will use that very same stuff right now in the present to help you to help somebody else.
I mean, think about how many women, I mean, God literally showed me the number of women that was still stuck in where he delivered me from, because he delivered me from that. He delivered me from adultery. He delivered me from the shame of adultery. He delivered me from all of that. But there are so many people who are, and some of, and I know married women right now who are in the church who, them and their husbands sleep in separate beds, and all of them ain't over 80 either. Wow. I know, yes, yeah, I know women that can't touch their husbands. The husband can't touch them.
Well, when I'm 80, I still want to be in the same bed with my husband.
I know, but you know what I mean? Oh, right. Yes, I know, right. But I'm saying that there's...
Amen. I already told the church I'm going to be until I'm over 100, so I don't want a separate bed. I don't know why people do that. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just...
No, it's okay. There are a lot of women, though, Pastor Rebecca, that are stuck in this place.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it is serious.
We need to be free, yeah.
But they're not going to be free until they hear the testimony.
Yeah, so we're going to have a testimony line. Let's do it. You know, let's actually have a testimony podcast.
Yeah, they're not going to get free because somebody in the church stands up there and preach that you got to live holy. They're going to get free when a holy woman of God gets up there and say, I was there too.
Yeah, that's the only thing that helped me to get free. I was in church for 7 years, and it was not until I went to a women's retreat, and women's actually got stood up and started talking about how they had been molested and how they had been abandoned. And, you know, and that thing, when they started asking for testimonies, there was something in me that wanted to get up and testify, but I couldn't on that day because I wasn't ready. But gradually the Lord began to pull my testimony out of me that women are right there stuck. There are women who are dying because they can't get free from what happened in the past. And that's why I said, what happened, happened. You're going to have to go through the process. You're going to have to forgive.
Yes.
If something happened to you, you're going to have to really, truly forgive the person that did what they did to you. And if you did something, you're going to have to really, truly receive God's forgiveness for that thing that you did and to forgive yourself for what you did.
And forgive
the people who hurt you.
And even for the people that... You know, sometimes we have to forgive ourselves for thinking that, how did we let this happen? Or, why did it happen to me? Some people are stuck there. They need to be set free from that. Why me?
Right.
You know, and of course we can easily say, why not you? But for everybody, it's not that easy for them to accept the why not me.
Wow.
That's a whole ministry right there. I can accept it because my mother taught me that all our lives growing up, everything was get over it. I learned that as a kid growing up. But that's why I was able to get over some things that other people haven't been able to get over. But I know today that everybody can't just get over stuff like that. They need to be walked through. They need to be discipled and ministered through the pain of their past so that they can live. You're not going to live an abundant Christian life if every year you crying about what Jody did. No, you're not.
This is Paula again here. I love the subject that you're talking about here because it's really addressing lots of thoughts that I've had for me. So I know it's no accident that God's bringing this up for us here in this moment. You know, I'm someone who's been in communication all my life. Even before I was a Christian, I was a secular coach for 20 years. And I was raised in a restaurant, so my whole life has been about be public, communicate, and I do have a lot of gifts in that area because of that. And, you know, I am concerned coming, you know, I mean, I really get what the other woman was saying about, well, gee, I've had this great life. Glory to you. You know, I think God's going to lift you from there and use that. I don't think there's anything wrong with not having a problematic life. You know, but you know, from my money here and observer of communication and interaction with Christians, you know, as I've come on board as a newbie here, you know, it's one of the things that I keep seeing over and over are, you know, people are so committed to the lost and saying that, but, you know, you can't come out with that you're something secretive about yourself, that you're caring for a demented mother at home. You know, you can't even talk about that. And, you know, I've had relationships that could not go a step further because, you know, who people have to be, you know, for me and in communication as a coach, and or you want to come in partnership with me, you can't live in secret around me. You just can't. Because, you know, I've had someone, I was one of those people who had a lot of things happen to her. I had to learn to talk about me. I had to get my secrets out. I had to expose myself. I spent years in 12-step programs, you know, doing that because there was just so many things that were covered up. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound righteous and I don't want to sound know-it-all here and I want to stay humble, you know, but you know, I think that's really part of what God is doing here is that we really have to pull off that covering of, you know, it's never comfortable, you know, it's never comfortable for me no matter how many times I talk about it. It's not comfortable to talk about that I was raped at 7 years old by 3 men. That's never going to feel completely okay. Now it's forgiven and I'm at peace,
yeah.
But there, you know, when you're standing in front of, you know, a crowd full of people, it's always a little subject to bring up that takes a little courage, you know? And so I don't know. You know, I just, you know, just being a newbie here and my observers, that we have to be very careful not to suppress people or an attitude of suppression. We have to be, in fact, encouragers of that it's completely okay and it's completely fine, you know, to say those things, to come out. You know, when God was getting ready for his death and a woman comes into the room where he's sitting with Pharisees, you know, and she comes in with that alabaster oil and she breaks it over his head and you know, or the women, you know, it was like so uncomfortable. Those men were so uncomfortable with that intimate, naked moment. You know, or when the woman comes to, you know, wash his feet in tears, those men were uncomfortable with that showing of the heart, with that being so negative for our naked for our love for Christ, you know. And, you know, I think that's where we've got to be, you know, becoming like spiritual activists almost. You have to be aware that, you know, when you take actions and intentionally so. And, you know, Pastor Rebecca said, you know, I do things and I know, you know, I'm going to get persecuted for that. You know, that's going to dig up all those demons, right? And the love of God is going to protect us in those moments. But, you know, I don't know. This is just, you know, for the most part, you know, the culture is one of suppression and oppression. And we every time you open up with your heart, whether it be something negative from the past or even the love of God, you're still making yourself negative, and it's always a risk. It always takes courage. It always requires being a little bold. I don't know. Any input from the rest of you?
Yes. I just want to say that it's not always appropriate for women to stand up and give their testimony. Like, we don't stand up anywhere and everywhere and tell everyone everything. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you discernment on what to share and when to share. You know, as a matter of fact, there'll be some groups where you're in and you'll begin to speak and you'll give your testimony, and to them it's sensationalism. You know, you have not really done anything but, you know, really fed the curiosity or the gossip monger in some folk, you know. But God will always show you. Like, when I go out to minister, I always go prepared with a word from the Lord, you know, God's script, the scripture, you know, holy scriptures, to be sure that I'm prayerful, to be sure that I'm prepared. But I always go before the Lord and ask the Lord, what is it that he will have me to share with the people? And then another thing that's important is surrender and submission, to be able to surrender your will for God's will and to submit yourself to the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because other than that, we're just going to make a big mess out of it all. And then you have to realize that you need to be healed and delivered before you start telling folk your business. Because when you start telling people your business and they're not able to handle it because judgment and persecution, oppression and the spirit spirit of suppression will come, and people will even begin to mock and laugh at you in some incidences, or even take your testimony and try to use it against you. Sometimes when you begin to share, when you begin to share what the Lord has done in your life, make sure that God has healed you, or at least you're in the process of being healed, because if you're not, then that can be used against you. I tell women to be healed, because it's easy for us to sit here now, those of us who have been molested and raped and abandoned and neglected and abused and misused and have watched things go on in our homes when we were small. It's easy for us because most of us have been healed and we've been delivered. But some people haven't. You know, some people are still in the process of wearing the mask. They still have the bandages on. They're still trying to make it through life without really facing that thing that has so crippled them. And I would just like to surrender to those women on today that you must allow God to take the bandages off that you have put on your own wounds, and allow God to pour that anointed oil of that balm of Gilead into that wound. Allow the Holy Spirit to heal you. Allow yourself to be healed by the stripes of Christ so that you can walk not as a crippled tree, but now as a mighty oak of righteousness, so that God can use that testimony to begin to bring healing to the lives of other women. See, the problem is, and we have women in different stages. You have women who are healed. We are healed. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of the gospel that has brought salvation and deliverance to us, because we know what God has done for us. We were whores. We were hoochie mamas. We were prostitutes. We were home wreckers, adulterers. We were the women at the well and the women who dried Jesus' hair with her tears and broke open her alabaster box before the Lord. We've been there, done that, got some T-shirts. You know, most of us don't want to go back. We don't mind looking back in order to be able to help another sister with our testimony, to say, I'm not ashamed of what God has done in my life. Let me tell you how God has saved me, how he opened my eyes, how he healed me, how he delivered me, how he brought me out, how he brought me through, and what he has done for me, I'm assured that God can do for you. So we use our testimony as a tool of God's glory. We use our testimony, we give it to him and let him use it. Say, God, you take it, because, you know, my identity at this point is nothing. You know, my personal identity is nothing, but my spiritual identity is in Christ. If he can work through me, and I said it before and I'll continually say it, if he can work through me and get the glory in my life, then I have fulfilled my purpose. And that's what we have to know, that your testimony, what you've been through, your trials, your tribulations, is not really for you to sit around and cry about. Yes, you're going to cry. We do not despise tears. You heard me cry earlier. I will cry if something touches my heart. Jesus wept. So we have to be moved with compassion. I think the problem is sometimes we miss that compassion thing. You know, we look at women and we say, why is she still crying? Why is she still crying? It's because she's still hurting. She hasn't gotten healed yet. And it's just so important for us as women of God, as sisters in Christ, to be compassionate about the woman who's still going through her process of being healed. And we got to get healed. We have to be healed. And the only way that we're going to be healed is to face the stuff that's making us sick. Face the stuff that's stopping you from having a productive relationship. Face what's making you go back to that man's bed. And you know that man hasn't honored you by being in a committed relationship with you and making you his wife. Face the stuff that's making you go back to crack, or making you go back to drinking and getting so drunk that you fall out drunk every night. Face the stuff that's making you scream at your kids. Face the stuff that's making you keep eating to the point of oblivion, that you want to lose weight. You don't even like the way that you look, but you keep eating because you have to medicate yourself now with the food. You have to medicate yourself. We do it with alcohol. We do it with drugs. We do it with whatever, with men, with relationships. And what we really need to do is just surrender. We need to come to God in our wretchedness. We need to let God know, yes, I stop trying to fix it ourselves, and just come to God and say, here I am, wretched sinner that I am. And even though some of us who are in church, We need to go back to the cross. We need to go back to the altar and say, God, here I am, all yoked up again, all messed up. I thought I had this under control, but God, I realized that I can't put it under control. I need to put it under the blood. I need to give it to you. I mean, we always are going to have something that we're dealing with. None of us, Prophetess Melissa, you said it. We are not Jesus. We are not Christ. We have Christ in us. And with the Christ in us, we can do all things, even be overcomers over the stuff that has made us sick for too long. Look at the woman that Jesus healed in the synagogue. She was bent over by an evil spirit for over 18 years, and she was sitting up in church.
My God, Jesus. Yes. Yes.
We got to, ladies, we got to get healed. I mean, my God, we got to get naked before the Lord. We
and healing has been made available to us.
We're
Jesus.
On the same page, you know. It's you know, definitely, you know, I'm a coach, and so I teach vision to people. And you can't have a vision manifest in your life if you're afraid to express the thing, the very thing that God wants you to have a ministry in.
Yes.
You got too much shame and you got too much hurt and you can't open up about it, let alone get to the level of being able to manifest that, you know, to get on the other side of that ministry, to be on the healing side of that ministry.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying that I'm running into.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't, the thing about it is when you meet women as you're coaching, Paula, Mary, as you're coaching women, and I just want to say hello to Prophet George Howell, who's in the chat room. He has a minister, an anointed word, and I just want to ask you, Prophet Howell, to put your link in the chat room, and it's about the anointing. And I just highly recommend that every woman that's listening to this broadcast tune into Prophet George Howell's broadcast from this past Saturday on the anointing. I was so blessed by it, because it's talking about what we're talking about today, totally surrendering ourselves so that God can truly, truly be made manifest in our lives. And I just need the link there, sir, if you would just put it in so that I could speak it out into the internet airways, because we need to just hear what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to surrender our plans and our will and ourselves so that he can increase in our lives and so that he can do his work through us. So God can work his will through us. And as we meet people, then we will have the discerning through that anointing to know who's ready to be naked. Paula, Mary, everybody is not ready to be naked. Everybody is not ready. Some, I mean, just think about the fact, and you know, we're women here. You know, when we think about our own image, our own body image, think about if you had to take your clothes off in front of your husband for the very first time. You know, think about the intimidation factor in that. And, or if you have to take your clothes off in front of a whole group of strangers. You know, you're not ready to be that vulnerable to a group of people. You're not ready to be that, even to your own husband sometimes as women. We're not ready to be that vulnerable, even before God. Everybody's not ready to be naked. That's why I talk about a process. As you read the Bible, you'll see that there were many people that had to go through many different processes. Look at Joseph, from the pit to the palace, from the promise to the palace, he had to go through the process of the pit and prison. So we have to realize that there's always going to be a process to our healing. There's always going to be a process to our deliverance. And as you're ministering, especially for those of us in ministry, we know, look at your own life. Look at what you had to go through in your own life before you could be transparent with the people that you're ministering to. And it's the same with those that you've been called to minister to, that you also are going to have to be patient with them and let God... Don't do the Holy Spirit's work. Let the Holy Spirit work on them. Amen?
And, you know, praise God for that. I know I just wanted to, you know, it's so good. I'm so glad you extended the time. I was, like, praying. I was like, oh, Lord, I hope she extends the time. But such a powerful message on today. But I was also thinking about, you know, all of us who God has called. You know, the Word of God says many are called. And while it says few are chosen, but still even that few is still many. You know, because one day can be as 1,000 years to God, so we don't know the numbers. But I'm saying that, I said all that to say that we all have people that we are here that God is going to use us to be able to minister to that person, not for any final outcome, because God adds the increase at the end. My part
yeah.
might be a seed, somebody else is planting, somebody's watering and things like that. But sometimes just because a person didn't get their healing or they didn't get their understanding and acceptance of what they've been through one person, it doesn't mean they won't get it through someone else. Your child might go, your child could be raised in your household, live with you, eat your food, use your furniture and everything, but go down the street to another woman and get what she needs as it relates
yeah.
to marriage or financial or whatever.
Yes.
Emotions. And I'm proposing, in which I know you are, Pastor Rebecca, I pray, that we're in agreement with that's okay.
Yes.
You know, God, you know, he's using all of us. God don't have no lone rangers.
Yes. Now, I was reading the screen. Prophetess Lalisa, did you bring up the scripture, some plant, some water?
And some add. Oh, I didn't bring
up. Makes it grow?
I didn't bring that up yet, no.
Amen. God gets the increase. You have
that,
your
yes,
part
is, but,
to do. I have my part to do. As
right.
long as you do what God is telling you to do in the life of that person that you're coaching or ministering to, because coaching, if you're a Christian coach, you're ministering. So the person that you're ministering to, God
you know
will make
many,
it grow. God
you
will
know how many people God gonna make it grow? You know how many people have told me that a crackhead on the street corner in the crack house said something to them that made them realize how awesome God is? You know, everybody that God wants to use is not in a church. We know that, but I'm saying, or not a minister in the church or of a church or part of a church. If God can make a donkey talk, if God
yeah.
can speak through the air, come on.
Yeah.
If God can make a staff turn to a serpent and then at the same time cause a man to hold it up in the air and people can see it and get healed from it.
Yes.
Come on. Mm. We have to accept that. You know, people, I mean, not that we're not, I know we are, but you know how I can always go into my little preaching mode every now and again, but, you know, that little thing, but I, you know, I'm not mad at nobody, I love everybody, sometimes people think
well,
I'm hostile.
You're just one of those fiery preachers, you're like me, we're passionate, go ahead.
If I had been one of those preachers in the early 50s and whatnot, I would have been one of those ones you couldn't have understood a word I was saying. But I try my best to be as clear with what God is trying to say through me, because I don't have nothing to say. I ain't got nothing to give nobody.
Yes.
All I have is what God is saying and what God is doing. All I could do, I'm like the one guy said, you know, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I didn't make the bread. I'm not a bread maker. I can't explain to you how God can make a fall daily, fresh. Ready to eat. I can't tell you how you eat one slice and God will change your whole life. Years and years and years of stuff that you tried to change and you could never change.
My God.
Pray it away. You couldn't wish it away. You couldn't go to a fortune teller. You couldn't go to college. A lot of things you tried to do couldn't take away the hurt and pain. Three, four marriages later couldn't do it. But what I can tell you is that the bread is real. The bread
my
is
God.
Real. If you eat of the bread.
My
you will
God.
Get it. When you get it, it's your job to just tell somebody else.
My
said.
God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, God is moving. I have extended twice, and we only have 17 minutes left. I want to open up the phone lines, 646-652-4832. And as I mentioned, Prophet George Howell did a teaching on the anointing. And don't go there if you're not ready. But I believe that everybody that's listening is ready to hear what this man of God shared. He's no nonsense, and he shares this word, and he shares what God tells him to share. It's blogtalkradio.com/revealer, R-E-V-E-A-L-E-R. Go over there and listen to the archive. I want to bring Minister Tabitha back on. I had to mute her because there was some background noise. Minister Tabitha, are you still with us? Amen. Hallelujah. I believe she must be at work. I wanted to see if she had anything to say. Amen. But you can, ladies, you can call in. The lines are open. Prophetess, are you still with us? And what's on your heart, honey? What are you thinking over there?
Oh, I'm listening. I'm working, but I'm still listening.
Amen. Praise God. And I thank God Dana Neal is still with us. Gina Edwards is still with us. I know that they're at work, but we have extended because we flow. You know, we flow and do what God wants us to do. And it's just so imperative that we go to, I just think that we need to do this. We need times where we can come together and just really share about the Lord and from different stages. You know, we talked about the being a new Christian, and also I love the maturity stage also, where you're not independent of God, but where God allows you to now make conscious decisions. And my husband talked about that last night in our Bible study, where you begin to just make a conscious choice that you're not going to put up with the devil anymore, where you will take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, where you realize that you don't have to you can fight some of your own battles, you know, that you don't have to run from the devil anymore, that you can stand up and that you can fight not a spiritual, physical battle, because we fight not against flesh and blood, but you know that it's spiritual, and you know that the enemy is already defeated in your life. See, so that comes, that's also a part of the healing, when you know that God, if God be for you, who can be against you? When you know that no weapon formed against you can prosper. You know, and again, it all comes, and I believe it all comes, all of your power comes from being totally surrendered and totally submitted to the Lord. When you give up your will, when you give up your selfish ambitions and your selfish desires, your fleshly ambition for his will and for his preordained purpose, that's when I believe that God can really come in and get the glory in your life. When you don't care what people think about you, you know, you heard me earlier crying. I was like Jeremiah. I often remind myself of Jeremiah the prophet, where it's like, God, you know, I'm just so unpopular with the people. Nobody loves me, Lord. You know, nobody understands me. And I realize that that's so far-fetched, you know. But the thing about it is, if I really stood up and said some of the stuff that is in my heart, people would be like, what's with her? You know, why is she so uptight? Why doesn't she just loosen up? But I think that that's the problem with a lot of Christians, is that we have loosened up too much. You know, about so much. You know, I was sitting here today, and I was watching the TV, and The View was on, and the pregnant man has a 5-month-old baby, and now the pregnant man is pregnant again. But the pregnant man is no man. The pregnant man is a woman.
But that's how they're trying to twist the minds, and they want our young people. So, like you said, they're not too worried about the mature, but they're worried about the weak, and they're worried about twisting their minds to make them think that anything goes.
Exactly, and that's what has happened with society, but that's cool, because that's society, and those are the ones who don't know Christ, and their eyes have been blinded. But when Christians are sitting on the panel, okay, when I have two Christians sitting on the panel and they're nodding and smiling, I have a problem with that. And that's what I say. It's just me. It may be, and I know I'm not the only one, you know, but when I look at that and I see this, and I'm like, God, help me, because I realize that we're supposed to be in the marketplace, and we're supposed to be the light in the middle of a dark world, and we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. But what happens, what does the Bible also say when the salt loses its saltiness? Or when the light co-mingles so much with the darkness that it's just a hue, and no longer a bright light?
Well, yeah, isn't it a difference between being the light and acting like the light? I mean, you know, The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were supposed to know the word. They had a lot of rules and regulations, but they weren't following the right one. So just because a person, right, we see people that they are Christians and what have you, they're on the jobs, they're in jobs, they're in careers and what have you. They're in colleges and schools and all of these different places, in the pulpit, in the churches. But that doesn't mean we're going to go to that place and show up in the role for which God has cast us in.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If I were on The View, if I were on that show, I wouldn't be on the show for long, you know, because, you know, there's just some, and maybe I would be. Maybe it would have more ratings, you know, because there are just some things that I just couldn't keep quiet about, you know, just it's just me. But the thing about it is, but when you go into it, that's what you're saying, when you go into your workplace, there are certain things that happen in your workplace that you can't just impose your Christian views upon. That's what you were just saying, Firestarter?
No. I'm saying you can, but we don't. Did you hear me?
Yes.
I'm saying, I'm not saying that we can't propose our Christian views. I'm saying we don't, because we get scared. They're going to fire me. If I get fired, I'll lose my job. I won't be able to pay my house note, my car note, my kids' school, or what have you. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't propose our views. But what I'm saying is, in a lot of cases, what I've found is that we don't propose them for not only because of fear. There could be other reasons. It could be a belief. We could have grown up in a household that taught you keep church at home. When you go to the job, you don't take church there. And I know that to be true because if you listen to a lot of major TV ministry, they're preaching against it. They're telling people now, go to work and be a Christian. So apparently there had to be a problem with it before they start speaking out about it.
Amen.
A lot of
Hallelujah.
People, right, people are not going to go, have it for whatever reason they learned not to do that. So now when you take somebody like me, it was easier to do. Why? Because I never could keep a job in the first place.
Amen.
Prior to getting served, I've never worked a job more than a year or so.
Amen. Hallelujah. So you were able just to go and be who you were going to be. Amen.
It had nothing to do with Jesus, though. I was just going being the lousy worker I was or whatever. I was quitting. I didn't like things, and I would quit. I didn't like the way the boss talked to me, or I didn't like the salary, or I got fed up with the attitude in the office, and I would just quit jobs, or I was moving on and doing other things. So now that I built up that behavior, I can still have that behavior now, and just, you know, and then when you start asking if we can stand being poor for a while, because when I quit my job at Essex and I wanted to be in a job that was in line with my ministry, and I sought God, and I had to quit a job, so I had to be on a very, very low income, you know, while it took four years for God to put me back on an income that could, you know, that was able that I could do, you know, more things and in terms of paying bills and all those basic things we have to do. But I had to go through some of the shame and guilt of not having money.
Yeah.
Okay,
you know, I'm working that out. You know, we worked that out because
I didn't want to stay on a job where I felt that the presence of the Lord wasn't there and the people that were there that were supposed to have it. I'd rather be on a job where the people who ain't got it don't act like they ain't got it, and the people who do got it act like they got it.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
We
praise
that. Yeah,
that's
we,
all
oh,
I'm
you
asking.
Know.
That's the thing, and that's why God showed me that scripture today, to fret not because of evildoers. You know, don't get so focused on evildoers that you forget to delight yourself in me. So we can't be, and that's what I was saying earlier, we can't be the Holy Spirit. We can be men and women of God. We can be the light, and we can be the salt.
Yeah, we're not Christ.
But we cannot be. We are not Christ, and we cannot be the Holy Spirit. And we cannot be the Holy Spirit, but we do have to take a stand, and we have to know where we stand, and we have to refuse to compromise that stance. And we have to allow God to be magnified in our lives. We have to, this is what I told my husband last night on the way to Bible study. We have to just make sure that we're walking right with God. We just have to make sure that we are right with God. We have to make sure that God is increasing in our lives. You know, we have to make sure that we're being the living epistle that will bring glory and honor to God. You know, because if they're reading us and we're giving them a false doctrine, we're giving them another doctrine, and people are looking on our lives and reading our lives as the only Bible that they'll ever see, and we're giving them a false doctrine, then the Bible says we're a curse. So we have to make sure that we're standing up representing our God truthfully.
Yes.
Truthfully. Yes. We have to be a true witness for Christ. And that's all. See, that's all. I'm crying out in the wilderness that we would just be a true witness for Christ, that we would do our best. No one's perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we would do our best. And how do we do that? Through our love, you know, by tapping into the love of God and walking and dwelling in his presence and being in the spirit and not in the flesh, continually being in his presence and seeking his face and seeking to do his will, seeking to please our Father. Just because he loves us, we want to. I want to please God just because he loves me. And I know Dana Neal, I see Dana, some of her comments in the chat room, and she's talking about her walk with God. And Gina Edwards, God bless you, and thank you so much for encouraging Dana in the chat room, because, Dana, I know that's your heart's desire to please God. And as long as that's our desire, because God knows our heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You may mess up. You may miss it. You may find yourself in sin. But where's your heart? How is your heart before the Lord?
Well, he said, because, if we confess our sin,
yes,
he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and then cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Yes, my God. And if you keep your heart pure before the Lord, if you humble yourself before God and resist the devil, you're on the right path. You're on the straight and narrow. But you know, the world says, be happy, drink and be merry, you know, drink and be merry, have fun, let it all hang out, loosen up. No, stay on the straight and narrow. Stay on the straight and narrow path. Humble yourself before the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Seek his face. Seek to please him. You know, you're not going to dot every I and cross every T. But the thing about it, if you love on God, well, Jesus gave us two commandments, and I love them. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we just aspire to do that, I mean, if we just seek to do that on a daily basis, Prophetess Lalisa and everybody that's listening, I believe we got it. I believe
God,
we have it.
We
right
got
there.
It. No, that's the biggest thing. First of all, it's hard for us to love ourselves. Some of us
My
don't love
God.
Ourselves. We're busy beating up on ourselves, mistreating ourselves, like you said, sometimes even trying to kill ourselves with what we eat and what we smoke and what we drink and what we do this and do that with. And then we're trying to love other people. Okay, that's a huge teaching that God hasn't really rolled that one out yet. We're teaching about a lot of stuff in these churches today. But the love to, like, would you just, that scripture you just quoted about love your God, yeah, we could kind of get with that. But what? Now you're talking about me loving everybody else like I love myself. That's two very powerful things. Love myself and love other people like I love myself. Now, wait a minute.
That's right. And that's right. And that's what this whole broadcast has been about. And I pray that people were listening to you, Prophetess Lalisa, when you were saying that love yourself, love others, and love God. You know, you talked about it in that order, and that's the problem, you know, because we think about it in that order, and we got it backwards. See, if we were focused, and this is what I'm saying, if we were focused on loving God, if we would really love God above ourselves, above other people, you know, and focus on that as opposed, and now we got to love our enemies, too. That's a whole nother hour, which we don't have. But if we love God, this is what I'm saying. If I love God, if I think about his love, his mercy, and his grace, if I think about how he brought me out and brought me through, if I think about the things that he's forgiven me of my wretchedness, my filthiness, my dirtiness, if I think about that.
Excuse me, Pastor Rebecca. I can't let you just zip through that. Hold it. Because there's too many Christians who don't think he brought them through nothing.
And that's where I'm trying to bring.
Don't forget that.
That's where we're trying to take you.
We think bringing you through something means
the Christians.
No, because we think bringing me through something means my house was falling apart. I had breast surgery. The money. No, it ain't bringing me. See, that's the problem.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
People who know what God brought them through, most of us don't have no problem saying, I love God like that. He said it, to whom much has been forgiven, listen, that's the person who gonna love much. But a lot of people are still at that place because I never did nothing. Mama always told me I was great and wonderful. I graduated from the best schools. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And a lot of people are right there in the church, right there. A lot of people that were saved are right there.
Amen. Well, the thing about it is, that those are the people that I'm talking to then, to just get beyond yourself, to get beyond and know that you do have a testimony, that God has kept you. If you've never been through any of this stuff, if you don't think he brought you through, he brought you through without you being entrapped and ensnared with some of the stuff that your neighbor sitting next to you on Sunday has had to endure. Whatever it is, God gave you life. He created you. He gave you purpose. He gave you that house that you live in and that husband that you're married to. He gave you the health that you have in your body today. He gave you sight so that you could look through those peepholes in your head and be able to see this magnificent earth that he created. God has done something for you, and he's only done it. And more than that, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you so that you would not have to have eternal damnation. And that's our next 2 hours. If we had it, I would tell you that God kept you over 2,000 years ago from the fire of hell so that you can have a life eternally with him in heaven. You don't have to see hell because God sent his son to die for you. So, yeah, there's something that he's done for you. And think about that love that I just talked about. And love on God because he first loved you. God loved you before you were even created. Amen. I want to thank everybody for listening. We're out of time. We're not out of words, but we're out of time. Amen. And we want to remind you that Jesus died for you. And forget about all of that other stuff. Jesus died for you. Amen. Because he loved you so much that he didn't want to see you perish. Amen. Hallelujah. Tune in 2 weeks. Prophetess Lalisa, you took me there today. I thank you for being with me today. God bless. I thank God that you were working from home today and you had time to tune in and be a part of this broadcast today. But you took me there, and I thank God. I pray that the people that you were talking about, that they heard what you were saying and what we were saying on today, because God wants them to come into another dimension of his love, not just the surface of things, but another dimension of his love. So God bless you, my sister. I love you.
Okay, praise God.
I love you, praise God. And thank you all for listening. Tell somebody about Woman to Woman, and we'll see you next week right here on blogtalkradio.com/power. God bless you, prophetess. God bless you, prophetess. I love you. Stay encouraged.
I am.
Stay encouraged. God bless you, Prophet Howell. I believe Prophet Howell, I don't know if he just called in. Prophet Howell, did you just call in, sir, or were you still there on the, all the time?
No, actually, I was just trying to listen, just trying to get a gist of what everyone was sharing. And just thank you for the words that you were able to speak. You've been a blessing as well, as always.
Amen. And you too, sir. Like I was saying, I really enjoyed your word on Saturday. I don't know if you send out an email or an invitation, but I would love to be on that list. I may be busy on Saturday, but I will always come back and listen to the archive. And the anointing that you minister in on that particular day, it was still present at the time that I went back and heard the archive. So I just want to thank you for your obedience to the Lord and what you're allowing him to do in your life. And I want you to know that you're blessing many, many by your ministry. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And I want to check in with Minister Tabitha. God bless you. You still there, Minister Tabitha? Amen. Okay, she must have had to go. But, Prophetess, God bless you. I will see you on Sunday. If you need to talk to me, you can always call me. My phone is always open for you, okay?
Amen.
Amen, and praise God. And God bless you, everyone. And we will see you on next Thursday at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time right here on Woman to Woman. I love you with the love of the Lord. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen. And I know people probably won't hang on, but I'm going to play this song, Jesus, for anybody that wants to stay and be ministered. But I won't be speaking any longer after this. After this song, God bless you all.
Middle, you said, well, I'm just going to play a song right now. God, he.
so glad you died for me. I'm so glad you shed your blood for me.
Jesus.
That's the kind of power he's given us.
Jesus.
We
can speak to that sickness and it will leave. That's what he said in his word, yeah. He said, I've come to give you life more abundantly. That's what he did at the cross for you and me. That's what he did at the cross for you and me. That's what he did at the cross for you and me. But I'm so glad he rose on the third day. With all power in his hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus. 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 The powerful name of. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, give him glory.